Reading Numbers 14, verses 13 to 19. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. Well, I'd like to look briefly today at God's justice. The particular verse we'll focus on, after a bit of background, is verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering, that is, he's patient and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Well, this was a statement about God that Moses made as he was praying for his people. It was a very important moment in Israel's history. You see, they'd been rescued from Egypt. We can all remember, can't we, how they were rescued. How God miraculously opened the Red Sea and all the Israelites went through, and then Pharaoh and all his armies were in hot pursuit. They were following. And you would have thought that Pharaoh would have destroyed the people of Israel, and that's what they feared. But what did God do? As soon as they were at the other side, thank you. The ocean, that's right. The Red Sea came back into its place, and all of Pharaoh's armies were destroyed. They were all drowned in the sea. It was a remarkable miracle, wasn't it? And it wasn't the only miracle that they saw. You see, there was no food in the wilderness. So what happened is every morning, manna came down. And it was there for them to eat. Every morning except which morning?
Sunday.
Well, it wasn't Sunday. It was the Sabbath, which was Saturday, in fact. But very close. It was one day in the week. And that's a good reminder to us, isn't it? That we should work 6 days, rest on the seventh. Or, in our case, on the first day of the week. It's really important, children, to remember that. I remember when I was training to come to be a barrister, a good friend of mine I was living with, he never worked on a Sunday, and he got a distinction in his exams. And I thought that was a very good lesson, and I've tried to do the same ever since. We should take a day of rest. So, on the way through the wilderness, God fed them. He gave them his law. He gave instructions about how the Ark of the Covenant was to be built, where the presence of the Lord was to be found. And all because the Lord was preparing his people to enter the promised land. But before going there, Moses sent 12 spies. One spy from... How come there were only 12? Yeah. Why were there 12 and not 10?
Because
12 and not 13? Anyone know? Any of the children? Yes, Alison. Quite right. One from each tribe. The trouble is, they went over there and they found some wonderful fruit. It says in Numbers 13, verse 23, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought forth of the pomegranates and of the figs. It was a land where it's like your back garden. It's like if you were looking to buy a new house and the back garden's got these amazing apple trees and orange trees and avocados. And I don't know what your favourite fruit is. My favourite fruit is papaya. And I could just imagine having an enormous papaya tree. I would be very happy. So I wonder what your peach tree, perhaps. Plum tree. Well, no doubt you'll tell me afterwards what your favourite fruit is. But they had them. They had lots of them. There was masses of fruit in this land. It was a foretaste of heaven for them. But there was one problem. There were these giants in the land called, I think, the Anakims. And they were, and these spies, the sons of Anak, and these spies were intimidated by them. They were scared by them. They didn't think they would be able to defeat them. You see, one of the problems was that the spies and the people of Israel forgot what God had done for them. They forgot the past, and so all they could see was all the problems of the future. And I wonder how many of us are like that too. We forget what God has done for us. You see, some of us were here when this church was shut down. And we can remember what it was like, can't we? Can you remember that day? Yeah. I can. And can you remember all the prayers that we prayed? And it didn't look very hopeful, did it? But God heard our prayers. And here we are, all sitting here today. And we wouldn't have been if God had not acted for us. And there are many ways that he acted for us. And so you'll remember the service we had in 2015 where we gave thanks to God for keeping us. Now we must never forget occasions like that. We have people here whose lives have been saved. We have a brother here, I hope you won't mind me saying, who was shot 8 times at point blank range with a Russian rifle, an AK-47. How many people would survive being shot 8 times at point blank range? And he's got the bullet upstairs if you want to ask him to have a look at it, Bobby. I'm sure he'll show it to you. Okay, that's a miracle, isn't it? I know we have a sister who was miraculously saved twice. Once from her boat capsizing and drowning, and once from another difficulty. But there are lots of us who can say the same, aren't there? I'm sure, and I don't know some of your other tales of how God has helped us. And we can say that we're only here because God has saved us in the past. And yet we look ahead, the problems that set before us, and we think, oh no, I can't scale that mountain. And it made the Lord very angry. How is it then that we make sure we don't make that mistake again? We count our blessings. There's that hymn, isn't there? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And children, it's a good idea to do that. And when you know that God has helped you with your test, your math test, or whatever it is at school, helps you with perhaps a problem with somebody you're not getting on with at school, remember it. Perhaps write it down in a notebook. And thank God for it. So that when you're facing another problem in the future, you can remember that nothing, as Jeremiah 32 verse 17 tells us, our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Is there anything too hard for God?
No.
No. Anything? No.
No.
But unfortunately, it's so easy to forget that, isn't it? And the people of Israel forgot it. And the Lord was angry because they refused to go into the promised land. God had brought them to that point. They refused to go in. And so he said to Moses, I'm going to destroy this people. And he had every right to do that, didn't he? Thank God that Moses was there to stand up and to pray for them. And it was in his prayer that he mentioned this verse in verse 18 of Numbers 14. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Isn't it wonderful that there was a person to pray, to stand between God and the people of Israel? And I don't know if you've, children, if you've learnt another important verse in the Bible, you may not have done. It's a great verse, Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. And I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, talking about Moses, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. I wonder if you can think, who was like Moses? Who stood between God and man and interceded for man? Who's doing it at the moment? Who is the mediator, the one person who stands between God's anger against mankind and us? Who's the one who is stopping us just being sent to hell? Any ideas? Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Bible says that there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. So you see, Moses was a type of Christ. The people of Israel's rejection of God's promises to them are just like our rejection of God. See, we can look back in our history. We can see how the great things God has done, and yet we have rejected him. It applies most importantly to us before we became Christians. We were dead in our sin. We deserved to go to hell. And it's important to remember, and this verse teaches us, that God is a God of justice. You see, we don't just... It isn't true that just everybody goes to heaven because Jesus died for our sins. But it does say the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Does he forgive everybody? What does it depend upon? Yes. You've got to ask. And in order to ask, you must repent, mustn't you? Do you know what repentance is? Yes, Bobby? Well, it is. It's realizing you've done wrong. And it's actually, repent means to turn round. So you're facing in that direction, which is the wrong direction, and you turn round. You turn your back on your sin. So it's not just about saying sorry, because there are sometimes you can say sorry and not really mean it and go and do the same thing again. But to repent means you turn your back on that sin and you don't repeat it. You ask God to help you not repeat it. So that is the condition of our forgiveness. And those who will not repent will suffer for their sins. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Had he done that to the people of Israel, they would have been destroyed. If God visited our sin upon us, we would all be destroyed and go to hell. But one of the great verses in the Bible, which I know you all do know, children, is John 3, verse 16. You can all say it together, can't we? After me. 1, 2, 3. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. He has given his life. He's laid down his life to pay for our sins, that whoever believes in him, will not perish, like the people of Israel who refused to go into the promised land. You see, all the ones that had been alive, all the adults who'd seen God rescue them from Egypt, they were not allowed to enter the promised land after that. So that's why the people of Israel had to go round through the wilderness for another 40 years until all of those people who had seen God rescue them from Egypt had died, because he wasn't going to let them in. And it's a lesson to us, isn't it? Let's trust God's promises. And if you've got a giant ahead of you and you don't know how you're going to overcome that giant, remember what God has done in the past. Remember, most importantly, what the Lord Jesus did for us on the cross. And pray. And we're to be anxious about nothing, but in all things, by prayers and supplications, to present our requests to God. So, is there anything that you're afraid of? Is there anything that seems to be a barrier between you and God? You don't think you can do it. You know this is what you must do, but you don't think God is able to do it. Well, bring it to the Lord in prayer. You see, God specializes in doing what we can't do. He specializes in the impossible. There's nothing he can't do for us. And so let's not make the mistake that the people of Israel made. They were cowards. They didn't trust God. But let's be those who put our hand in God's hand and let him lead us through. He never makes us do anything on our own. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do you know where he said that? Anyone know? Hebrews chapter 13. Now he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We'll finish on that verse. Anyone gets there before me, please let me know which verse it is. And it's verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. With that promise, none of us should fear anything. Amen.